Well, good morning, beloved. It's a pleasure to be with you. And today I want to talk to you about praying through the hard times. We all have them, don't we? But most often we're praying, God, get me out of this problem. Get me out of this trouble, or get me out of this difficult situation. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But before you get out, you have to invite God in. Sometimes the real growth occurs not in getting out, but in inviting God into the situation. Now, many of our church family have been dealing with some very serious issues, from fighting cancer, dealing with other related health issues, dealing with acute loneliness, dealing with wayward children, interpersonal struggles, all kinds of different issues that come up. And we have watched as our faithful brothers and sisters have walked through these very hard times with faith and with courage. And we've seen how God has answered prayers, all the prayers that are being lifted up through our prayer team, through all the congregants who are praying. And we have seen just shining examples of what it means to go through hard times. You know, the scripture says, be glad when your way is difficult and full of trials and tribulation, because then God has a chance to perfect your faith through patience. It's very difficult for us to rejoice when we're in hard times. And what we pray is, God, get me out of this situation. And what I want to challenge you this morning is to pray and ask God to bring healing, pray and ask God to bring provision, to pray and ask God for direction and wisdom in all of those issues that you're dealing with. But understand that God wants to walk with you through those trials, and it means inviting him into those situations. Now, this past week has been a very frustrating week for me. I used up 3 days trying to help my son move into his new apartment over in Burnaby on the mainland. And he's starting with FedEx, very excited, but he didn't have any furniture. And so we were waiting for this delivery of furniture. And it just seemed like one thing after another was coming up, and that furniture would never arrive. So it took 3 days before the furniture finally arrived, and a few trips for me to get over there to wait for the furniture, because he was at work and trying to get him set up. Now, this is a small thing compared to what many of you have been dealing with, but I found myself getting frustrated and praying, God, please just send the furniture. And God has always been so faithful to answer my prayers. And I thought, this is really dragging out. But it was, God was trying to just give me a little taste, a little teensy weensy taste of what it's like to go through a difficult time as I was preparing this message throughout the week. And because of so much time on ferries and sitting in Cole's apartment, empty apartment, or sitting in the park next to his apartment, I had lots of time to pray, lots of time to study, and lots of time to prepare this message. But I thought it was interesting because God was wanting to show me the essence of the message just through this minor situation, this frustrating incident. And he was saying, you know, I'm so quick to answer your prayers, but if I don't answer your prayers right away, are you going to be patient in the trial? Are you going to invite me to teach you what I need to teach you as you walk through this difficult situation? Well, I felt like that was what God was trying to impress upon my heart. It was like God was testing me. Now, you need to understand the essence of what you're going to teach on Sunday. So I'm going to give you a little teeny tiny taste of what it's like. Well, here's the point. Sometimes, in order to see growth in our lives, we have to walk through a difficult season. And just because God hasn't brought you out yet doesn't mean he isn't with you. He wants to walk with you through the fire. Invite him into whatever you're facing today. As you trust him, he's going to bring you out stronger than you were before. And instead of just praying, God, get me out, why don't you start praying, God, come into this hospital room while I take this treatment. Come into this trouble at work or in my relationship. Come into this situation where people aren't treating me fair. Come into this anxiety that is relentless and never leaves me alone. You know what's more powerful than God bringing you out is when God comes in and begins to change things. He comes in and he builds your faith. And despite who's trying to push you down, he comes in and gives you strength that you can't explain, a grace to outlast what should stop you. If you're only focused on God bringing you out, then you're going to be disappointed, because God doesn't do things on our timetable. Have you figured that one out? It's true, isn't it? It's like we pray and we pray and we pray. We want to see an answer. But God allows us to sit in that situation because it tests our faith. It grows us. It makes us stronger. Oftentimes, the answer to our prayer is taking longer than we thought. But you know, when you ask God to come in, you can be at rest. You can be at rest. God, I know you're right here with me. You're ordering my steps. And at the right time, you'll get me. You'll get me to where I'm supposed to be. I've always found that to be true. God always got me eventually to where I was supposed to be. So you don't have to live upset, agitated, can't sleep at night. That happens when you're only focused on getting out. God is waiting to come in. When circumstances just seem so out of control and you feel like, what possible good could come out of this? Realize that he wants to change you. And we need to pray, Lord, help me to not just go through this situation. Help me to grow through it. Help me to learn. Increase my faith. Let my character come up higher. You know, if God delivered us instantly out of every uncomfortable situation, we would never reach our highest potential. God works in the trouble. He works in the uncomfortable situations. And sometimes God is not bringing you out because he wants the odds to be against you in a bigger way. So when he brings you out, your faith will be stronger and his glory will be greater. Now, isn't it true? Those little voices will whisper. You know, we were singing that song, A Thousand Stories. There's the still, small, quiet voice of the Lord who whispers up to us in the dead of the night and reassures us that he's with us in the trial, in the situation, and in the fire, right? But there's other voices that whisper, God doesn't hear your prayers. That's why nothing's changing. The truth is, God is setting you up to do a work in your life. And when he brings you out, others will see the changes in your life. They will. Those trials that you're going through, the heartache, the sickness, the loneliness, they have a greater purpose. And Larry's prayer by the Confederate soldier really summed it up so beautifully. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It teaches us how to depend upon him in the fire, in the flood, and in the famine. And as we walk through that with a dependence on him, he refines us, he molds us, he changes us to be more like his precious son. And then what does he do? He uses us like a huge mirror on a bright sunny day that reflects his light, his love, his glory to others. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, a few years ago, there was a movie entitled The Perfect Storm. And it tells the story of a boat called the Andrea Gale. And it was a commercial fishing vessel that was lost at sea with all hands on board after being caught in the perfect storm back in 1991. The film stars George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, and it was released on June the 30th, 2000 by Warner Brothers, and it grossed $328 million worldwide. This movie seemed to resonate with a lot of people, and it garnered a lot of popularity. Why? I think it's because so many people describe the problems they encounter as the perfect storm. You've heard people say this. They're going through a hard time, and there may be three or four other issues that they're trying to juggle all at the same time, and they call it the perfect storm. Well, really what people are saying is, I just feel overwhelmed with my life right now and the problems that are coming against me. And they feel so overwhelmed, they feel like they're going down for the last time. But you know, scripture promises the child of God that he will bring you through the wind and the waves. Isaiah 43:2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. the flames will not set you ablaze. Now, it's interesting. God didn't say, I'll keep you out of every fire. You won't have to face any floods. God said the challenges will come. There will be adversities and things we don't understand. But the whole key to this verse is when he said, I will be with you in the fire. I will be with you in the flood. I will be with you in the famine. Isn't that incredible? It kind of reminds you of Jesus' promise when he said, lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, that resonates, doesn't it? And when we're going through a hard time, that's when we need to remember the unfailing presence of our Heavenly Father. So let me ask you a question. Are you trying to get out of something that God is wanting to take you through? Are you fighting the process? It's not fair, God. I can't take it anymore. Everything will change if you start inviting God into the fire. He's already promised he'll be with you. Maybe he's just waiting for your invitation. The right attitude is, God, I know you're going to bring me out. But in the meantime, I'm asking you to come into this challenge. Come into this problem. Come into this loss I'm going through. Come into this depression. And when you invite God into your difficulty, you can have a confidence that he's empowering you, enabling you, and working out his plan in your life. Now, is it a greater testimony that God kept you out of the fire or that he came with you in the fire and brought you through it? One of my favorite portions of scripture, and I'm sure for many of you it's the same one, it's Psalm 23. He begins his pastoral psalm with this wonderful explanation of green pastures and still waters and the provision of God. And then he starts to talk about the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, it's a stark contrast from the beginning to the middle. And what does he say about that? He says, I know God's provision in the good times, but you know what? I know God's care and his provision in the dark times. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. When you know God is with you, when you've invited him into your situation, you'll have peace in the middle of the difficulty. You'll have a song of praise in the prison like Paul and Silas. You won't be complaining about the trouble, worried about what's going to work out. You'll be at peace in the midst of the storm, even a perfect storm. And the reason David didn't live afraid, even though he went through valleys and all kinds of adversities, is this. He understood the principle of inviting God into the trouble. He wasn't just waiting to get out. He knew that God was right there with him. And if you're only praying, God, get me out, you'll be discouraged until it changes. But you might say, hey, Trav, I can't enjoy my life. I have this child that's off course. I'm dealing with illness. My finances are low. I'm overwhelmed by loneliness. And when it turns around, then I'll have a more positive attitude. You see, what's happening there is you're waiting for God to bring you out. Well, God is waiting for you to invite him in. You have to do like David. Father, thank you that you're with me right here in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to live afraid, worried, sleepless at night. I may not see a way, but I know that you ultimately have a way. And instead of just trying to get out of the valley, out of the trouble, out of the fire, I want you to start saying, God, come in. Reassure me with your presence in the fire. Show me your greatness in this trouble. Then you'll have peace that passes understanding, a joy when you could be discouraged, a hope when you should be distraught. One of my favorite stories in scripture is the three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these three teenagers, they were, like D.L. Moody, they were sold out to God, right? They were sold out to God. They were God's young men. They lived lives of integrity and purity and holiness. They lived to honor God. And they would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. Well, you can imagine how that made the king feel. He's the king, and he was furious. And he threatened to have them thrown into a fiery furnace. He tried to intimidate them. Isn't that true with life, the problems that we have? It kind of is intimidating. And the enemy wants to intimidate us, and our own thoughts will try to intimidate us. But these three young people, they weren't intimidated. The teenager said, "Almighty King," they were respectful, "but we're not worried. We know our God will deliver us." This made the king even more angry. He had the guards turn up the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. Now, yesterday I helped serve pizza at Camp Kakoa alongside of Virginia to a group of college and career age young people. And we were just able to bless them. But you know, that pizza was made in a brick pizza oven. And I helped the director of the camp that morning stoke that fire. And we used a special, it was like a bellows, only it was powered, it was electric. And we just pumped a lot of oxygen in there. And he says, "What are we doing?" We're going to stoke this thing so high that when the pizzas go onto this, onto the brick, the fire brick, within 60 seconds, that pizza's cooked absolutely right through. Well, this was King Nebuchadnezzar's giant pizza oven, only he didn't cook Hawaiian pizzas. He cooked probably Hawaiian people. So he would throw them in this fire, and it was, they would just be incinerated in a matter of a second or two, completely charred and gone. Well, you have to ask yourself the question is, why did God allow the king to make the fire even hotter? Why? I believe it was because God wanted it to be a greater testimony of his power and the teenager's faith. It's all about the testimony. He wanted the odds to be more against them. The fact is, God could have kept them out of the fire. He's God. He parted the Red Sea. He opened blind eyes, raised the dead. Would have been no problem for God to change the king's mind or to help these teenagers escape. But God doesn't deliver us from every fire. True, isn't it? Sometimes he'll take you through the fire. The good news is God knows how to make you fireproof. That's cool. People don't determine your destiny. Bad breaks cannot stop God's plan for your life. Sickness, addictions, unfair situations don't have the final say. So don't be discouraged because God didn't keep you out of the fire. God doesn't stop every negative situation. He uses adversity to move us into his purpose for our lives. We would never know his power and his faithfulness if we were never thrown into a fire, so to speak. You would never know he was a healer if you never had an illness. We would never know he could move mountains if we never faced big obstacles. So let's quit complaining about what we're up against, what you're up against. It's not a surprise to God. The enemy may have turned up the fire 7 times hotter than normal. The king didn't do that without God's permission. God's in control of the fire that's surrounding you. He's in control of your enemies. And instead of complaining about the fire, start inviting him into the fire. That is a very cool concept. And when he's with you, you cannot be defeated. If God is for you, who can be against you? It's a rhetorical question. Nada. Nobody. He's in control. And when he's with you, you cannot be defeated. You and God are a majority. He's the supernatural God. He's not limited by the fire, by the floods, or by the famines. What should take you out cannot stop his plan for your life. Instead of complaining about everything that you don't like, if you'll recognize that God allowed the difficulty. I'm not saying that he sent it, but he allowed it because he had a purpose. And the purpose is so you can, is not, like the purpose is so you can live victorious. It's not living miserable or worried and afraid. His purpose is to show his glory through you, through your life. people need to see his power and his blessing on your life. And without a great test, you won't have a great testimony. Without big battles, we won't see big victories. The teenager said, "We know our God will deliver us." They made the statement of faith. Have you ever made that statement? Have you ever just come out and said, "I know that my God is for me in this situation, and I know that God will deliver me out of this situation"? Hold on, there's more. Then they said something even more powerful. What did they say? "But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to your golden idol." What they're saying is just what Job said: "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." Our desire to honor God and to serve him and to trust him is not contingent on him answering all of our prayer requests the way we think he should. It's based on his faithfulness and his eternal purposes for your life and mine. A purpose that will not only bring about growth for us, but glory for him. See, that's the kind of people that give the enemy a nervous breakdown. When you say, "God, this is what I'm believing for. I'm trusting you, come hell or high water, I'm trusting you. This is what I'm hoping will happen. But God, even if it doesn't work out my way, I'm still going to give you praise. I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to be good to others. I'm still going to pursue a life characterized by faith and obedience." You know, that kind of attitude gets God's attention, doesn't it? You're saying, "God, not my will, but let your be done." That's what Jesus prayed in the garden, wasn't it? "Not mine, but thine." But too often we're putting conditions on God and condition on our prayers. "God, I'll be happy if my wife just meets my needs and spoils me on Father's Day. Oh, God, I'll be happy if my boss moves to the backside of Mars. When you get him out of my life, then I'll have a good attitude." Have you ever thought God may be using that person to do a work in you, to grow you up, to develop your character, to teach you to love those that are not very lovable? Instead of praying, "God, get me out of this situation," I'm asking you to start praying, "God, come into this situation." I'm asking you to start praying, "God, come into the place where I'm hurting. Come into the place where I'm afraid. Come into the heartache. Come into the uncertainty and the confusion. I want you to come into those places and mold me and shape me and create in me such a dependence upon you that you are my breath." As we were singing this morning, "Jesus, be the center." You want to be a man or woman sold out completely to God like D.L. Moody? Oh my, your house burnt down. Didn't see that one coming. Oh, the whole city burnt down. Didn't expect that either. D.L. Moody went on to become one of the greatest evangelists, one of the powerful commentators, started a Bible college that trained multitudes of missionaries, evangelists, and preachers to go out. Moody Institute, Moody Bible Institute, a man greatly used of God, but boy, did he suffer. So appreciate that illustration this morning as we're beginning our service. So instead of praying, "God, get me out of this situation," start praying, "God, come into this situation. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me to do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening." It's very powerful when you say to God, "You know what? If I'm not getting my needs met in this relationship, I'll do the very best I can to talk it through, to communicate, seek counseling, pray through this. We'll do it all. But you know what? I'm committed 100% to this relationship, to being the best that I can be. And if my boss never moves, if he's here until I go to heaven, I know you've given me the strength to overcome, the power to be happy in the middle of this difficulty. And I'm not going to let this person, this sickness, this injustice steal my joy." Now you're growing. Now you're growing. Now you're coming up higher, because sometimes God is waiting for us to pass the test before he brings us out. The king had guards tie up the teenagers' hands and feet with cords. Then they threw them into the furnace. It was so hot that those guards that threw those teenagers into the furnace, they actually died in the process. Looked like this was the end, right? For the teenagers, game over. But you know what? People didn't have the final say. They still don't. If it's not your time to go, you're not going to go, regardless of what the doctor says, regardless of what some negative person says. Nothing can snatch you out of God's hands. You know, the story goes like this. In a little while, the king came, and I guess there was an opening in this giant furnace, and he looked in. He looked into the midst of the fiery furnace. And what did he see? He was astounded. He was confused. He was gobsmacked, as they said. He said, "Didn't we throw three men in bound? I see four men loosed, and one looks like the Son of God." Now listen, God may not keep you out of your fire, but don't worry. He'll come into the fire with you. He'll help you overcome what looks impossible. That illness should be the end. The medical report said you're done. God came into the fire with you, and here you are still growing strong. And we've seen evidence of that in our own family, haven't we? God's faithfulness. Sometimes we don't give it the credence that we ought to. Sometimes we don't recognize the hand of God answering prayer in the way that he has, but we need to rejoice over our friends and family in the church been battling cancer and heart problems. We need to rejoice because God's hand is upon them. And we're seeing his healing, and we may not even recognize it. Or perhaps someone broke your heart, and that should have soured your life, but look at you now, still moving forward, doing great things, fulfilling your purpose. You lost a loved one, and it left you feeling so lost and alone. But here you are, still pushing ahead with God. Well, how could that be? Well, you see, God came into the fire with you. You know, the Bible says, and this was the psalmist, said that God is a very present help in times of trouble. We know that to be true, don't we? We know that God is always with us. But when you're in difficulties and you invite him in, you're going to be assured of his presence in a greater way. You're going to be more aware that you're not alone. And when you get thrown into the fire, so to speak, you won't be bitter. You won't be angry. You won't be afraid. You'll stay in faith, knowing that the fourth man is right there with you. The God who controls the fire, that God who heals, who restores in times of injustice, is right there, watching over you, protecting you, ordering your steps. Think for a moment about Moses, great leader of Israel. Went through a difficult situation. He didn't know how it was going to work out. I'm sure he was tempted to worry and think about how big his enemies were. But God said to him over in Exodus 33, "Moses, I will go with you. I will give you rest. Everything will be fine with you." And maybe you're facing some challenges this morning. Life hasn't turned out the way you thought. You asked God to keep you out of the fire, but it didn't happen your way. I talked to my friends, family, people that are getting up in years. They've lost loved ones. Their health is diminished. There's daily pain and struggles that we encounter that we don't anticipate when we're young. Someone once said, "Hey, getting old isn't for sissies," right? It's challenging. And we are all facing challenges. Some of us more serious challenges than others, but we all get there. And we've asked God, "Lord, I don't want to go through this," but it didn't happen the way we prayed. It didn't work out the way we wanted. Now you're wondering how you're going to beat the illness, how your family is going to be restored. God's saying to you what he said to Moses, "I'm going with you. You're not in that fire by yourself. I have you in the palm of my hand, fighting your battles, that obstacle. Yeah, it may be too much for you, but it's not too much for God. Right now, he's pushing back forces of darkness. You may not know it. You may not realize it. But yet, all the scripture says that the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And we're kept in the palm of his hand. And the evil one cannot touch us. Isn't it wonderful to know we're under the umbrella of God's provision and care and protection? He's keeping the fire from burning you. He's not letting those waters drown you. He's your protector, your deliverer, your way maker, your healer, your provider. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to figure everything out. You're not going to know all the details. You have to walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that he's right there with you. He promised everything is going to be working toward your transformation in his glory. Romans 8:28. You know, when the king had the teenagers' hands and feet tied up, they could have been stressed out. They could have panicked. That would have been a natural reaction, I think, for you and me. I think we would have been overwhelmed by the fear of what was about to take place. But they understood this principle, that God doesn't keep us out of every fire. But he comes into the fire with us. They didn't fall apart. They stayed in peace. But I can imagine how different this outcome could have been if they would have complained, been bitter, discouraged. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about them. Maybe they wouldn't be a great example in the Bible. But they are. And that speaks to us today. And maybe the fourth man would have never shown up. How we approach our difficulties makes all the difference. Whether we're going to come through them, not burn, without even the smell of smoke like the teenagers, or whether we're going to get stuck in them and struck down by them and miss God's best. Listen, you may be in the fire right now, but this is not the time to complain. It's not the time to give up hope or to pray, God, get me out. More than ever, you need to start saying, Father, thank you that you are in the fire with me. Invite him into that fire. You know, the scripture says, thank you that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Do you believe that? God, I'm not going to worry. I trust you. We have to be that intentional. I believe what you promise, that everything will be fine for me, and I'm going to take you at your word for that because you have a plan. Whether it's taking me in the fire or out of the fire, whether I survive the fire or whether I don't survive the fire, I know that you're walking with me to the very last moment. And here's how amazing God is. The king said, didn't we throw three men inbound? I see four men loose. And when the teenagers came out, the only thing that burned were the cords that were holding them back. Their hair was fine and the skin was fine. The clothes were fine. Just the cords, the ropes, they were burnt. When you come out of that difficulty, the only things that are going to be gone are the limitations that are holding you back. Isn't that a great illustration? Isn't it wonderful to know that God takes us through the fire, he refines us, and he burns off those cords, those limitations, those things that are hampering our growth and our service for him. You know, it burns off fear. Burn off negative mindsets. Burn off those relationships that are pulling you down. You're going to come out free, bold, confident, healthy, victorious, ready to fulfill God's calling on your life. Now, I know this man, and I'm not going to divulge his name because it's a personal relationship, not from our church. But I know this man who is struggling with finances and family relationships. He'd maxed out his credit cards to keep his business afloat. And on top of that, his married daughter and her family, also suffering from financial difficulty, moved into his home, placing an even greater strain on finances and their relationship. While he was concerned and trying to figure out what he should do and how it was all going to work out, for several months, as we talked, he was asking for prayer. And I said, I told him, I'm going to pray. And I have been praying for him for several months. And he would tell me how it wasn't getting any better and wondering when God was going to change things. And on top of this, he was struggling with major health issues, arthritis, back problems, knee and joint pain, really difficult for him to even operate his machinery. All of this was putting a strain on his marriage and his mental and emotional health. And physically, he was starting to get run down. And I told him what I'm telling you today. You're just praying, God, get me out. You need to start praying, God, come into this difficulty. God, give me the grace to bloom where I'm planted, to have a good attitude, even though it's not easy. God, show me your favor despite the finances and family relationships. You know, he changed his attitude and quit worrying about when it was going to improve, knowing that God was right there with him in the fire, fighting his battles. I heard from him a couple of days ago. He sounded peaceful as can be, had a great attitude and seemed at rest. It sounded like I was talking to a different person. And I thought everything turned around. And he said, Travis, my kids are still with us doing the same things. They haven't changed, but I've changed. I don't let them upset me anymore. I don't live stressed out. I enjoy my life despite how they create stress. I'm doing the right thing, even though they place demands that are difficult to handle. And then he added, by the way, God has provided for our financial needs, and I don't have a single debt left to pay. Now, that's passing the test. That's showing God you're not just going to be happy if he brings you out, but you're going to shine even if it doesn't happen your way. You're going to be your best even if it's not changing on your timetable. That's inviting God into the fire. Not just, God, get me out, but God, please give me the strength to be here with a good attitude. You know, God knows how to vindicate you, and he knows how to get you out. He knows how to bring deliverance in your life. The question is, are you inviting him into the difficulty? When you're in the fire, you can't complain, be discouraged. God's not fair. Where is he? Try a different approach. God, come into this fire with me. God, help me do the right thing. Change me where I need to be changed. Burn off the things that are holding me back. You have to shine right where you are. Have a song of praise when you should be complaining. Keep a smile on your face when you should be discouraged. I know it's not easy, but keep reminding yourself the creator of the universe, the Most High God, is right there with you. He sees what you're up against. He knows what's not fair, the hurts, the disappointments, the lonely nights. You see, when you dig your heels in and do the right thing, you will feel a supernatural strength, the power to do what you could not do on your own, because God knows you're serious. God knows you're trusting him. God knows you're submitting yourself to his lordship. God knows you're looking forward to his provision. You're dependent upon him. And that's when the power and the strength will come in. You know, Pastor Larry already alluded to this morning about the injustice that happened to Joseph, thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, became the manager for a very powerful high-ranking military official in Egypt named Potiphar. And if ever there was a person that had a right to be bitter, to be angry, it would be Joseph. Here, he's sold into slavery. His dreams were shattered. He has no relationships. He's isolated and alone. He's in a foreign country. There's no one there to prop him up, no family members. And if you look at the text in Genesis 39, you read that Joseph never complained. What an example. Never complained. He just kept being his best where he was. He was so exceptional that this high military commander by the name of Potiphar put him in charge of his whole house. Genesis 39 says this, and it repeats it. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was successful in everything he did. Joseph did what I'm asking you to do. He didn't just pray, God, get me out of this trouble and I'll have a good attitude. He said, God, come into this trouble. Help me to shine. Help me to stand out. Well, the next verse says, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that. Let me ask you a question. Can people see that God is with you in the fire? Are you being your best, even though it's unfair? Are you shining when you could be complaining? Later, Joseph was falsely accused and put in prison for something he didn't do. Pastor Larry described it. This woman was trying to entice Joseph, and then she was furious when Joseph rejected her advances. But he's put in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And then verse 21 says this, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph in the prison, in the betrayal, in the injustice, in the loneliness. It's significant that the scripture tells us three times, just a few verses from each other, that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, we got it the first time, but God wants us to see this principle, that when you invite him into the fire, you're going to have divine favor and provision that pushes you up when life tries to push you down. You'll have a strength to excel when you could be discouraged. You'll have a power to overcome. Through Christ, I can do all things, right? Not in my own efforts, not in my own strength. But get this, after 13 years of being in the fire, man, we complain. We got to go through a day. We got to go through a week. We got to go through a year of, and we struggle with it. But here's Joseph, such spiritual maturity, such holy character. After 13 years of being in the fire, God brought Joseph out, made him second in command in all of Egypt. Now, you may be in a situation now that you don't think is ever going to change. But what God started in your life, he's going to finish. Love Philippians 1:6. It says, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll finish it. Now, it may not happen on your timetable. Instead of just praying, God, get me out, being frustrated because it's taken longer than you thought, why don't you start inviting God in? Father, thank you that you're with me in this battle with cancer. You're with me with this addiction. You're with me in this divorce, in this breakup, in this financial situation. When you invite God in, you'll be assured of his presence in a new way. Over in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. You remember the story. They all got in the boat, but as they're sailing, a huge storm arose. It was the perfect storm. And it came up, and the waves were crashing over the boat. The wind was so strong, the disciples started to panic. I would too, I think. They thought they were about to die. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. They ran as fast as they could. Jesus, Jesus, wake up, wake up. Don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus stood up, spoke to the storm, and suddenly everything calmed down. Wow. How quickly we forget God's faithfulness when the fire and the flood and the famine occurs. Now, these disciples, they'd seen Jesus perform great miracles, heal the lepers, raise a little boy from the dead. They'd seen all of that. And when Jesus said, we're going to the other side, you'd think that they would be confident. Nothing for us to worry about. The Son of God is in our boat. I could just see Barney Fife from Opie and Andy of Mayberry, you know. Well, we've got Jesus in the boat. He'll nip it in the bud. That's what he'd say to Andy. But that wasn't their attitude. They didn't have the faith in that moment. Isn't it true for us when the winds get strong and the waves begin to pour over the gunwales, we start to panic. But the God who created the wind and the waves, all of creation, couldn't stop the Creator. They had no reason to be afraid. The Son of God was in the storm with them. I wonder if you're doing like them, worried about something, even though God is in your boat. We used to sing a song, my wife and I, and we would laugh when we say, with Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm. And I forget the rest of it, but maybe I get my lovely wife who's sitting here to come over and we'll hum a few bars. But I think that's the point. He's already promised you that he's working everything out for your good. Now, the circumstances may look the opposite. Medical reports not good. Your loved one's off course. It's easy to live worried, upset. But can I encourage you, the Most High God is on your boat. Those winds can't stop you. The sickness, the injustice, the people cannot keep you from your calling. You might as well relax and stop fighting the surf. Sure, the waves may be big, but you have an advantage. You have an advantage. The God who controls the universe is right there with you. Now you do your part. Start thanking him that he's fighting your battles. Start shining where you are, being your best in spite of the difficulties. Don't wait until it changes. You have to invite him in before he brings you out. And if you'll do this, I believe like the teenagers, that the fire is not going to burn you. You're about to see the fourth man show up. Unusual things are about to happen. Unusual blessing, unusual healings, unusual breakthroughs, unusual peace, unusual growth, and unusual joy. You are a victor through Christ who strengthens us. Let's rejoice in the truth of God's word. Let's not live in defeat, but let's live in power. Let's live in hope. And let's trust that God is walking through the flood, through the fire, through the storm. And he loves you more than you know. And he's perfecting his work in you for your growth and for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.